We're going to get started. Thanks very much, everybody, for coming on the webinar today. We're going to be talking about how to engage over 55s in walking groups, and not just how to engage a few, but like how to what's working at the moment in terms of engaging large numbers, really large numbers of people into local walking groups. We've been particularly working with Walking for Health groups, but we've also been working with Paths for All up in Scotland. And they've got some really exciting approaches to kind of what is effective at the moment that I can share with you, give you an idea of what's possible, how you can engage. What we're looking at here is kind of hundreds or possibly in some cases thousands of people into walking groups. Got a lot to cover, a lot to go through, so please make sure you're paying attention. Make sure if you're not using it to listen in, you've got your phone turned off, you've got Facebook closed, and you've got your notepad at the ready. For any of you who don't know me already, my name is John Ainsworth, and I am the campaigns director at Make Sport Fun. I worked for several years as the campaigns manager for Sport England, and then I could see there was a need within the sports development, public health kind of sector for more support around campaigns to engage inactive people. So I set up Make Sport Fun so that we can help the industry, so we can help people like yourselves to actually use marketing, use digital marketing to engage inactive people. That's what we're here for. We're here to help. So if you ever need any help with that at all, obviously just get in touch. Now, there's a couple of things that people have told me about with promoting walking groups where they get quite frustrated. And one of them is how to reach the audience, and the other one is how to engage those people from that target audience. And I just want to be upfront and say some of these slides in the first kind of 10 minutes and what I'm going to talk through is quite similar to what I cover in my main webinar on how to engage inactive people. And it's going to be reasonably similar. And the reason is because the same barriers will exist for walking groups as exist for people in any kind of activity. So we're going to cover some of the same stuff at the beginning, and then I'm going to get into the real detail of what's working with the walking groups specifically, what's the approaches, what's the kind of things we've tested. So these frustrations, this is quite a big deal for a lot of people. How do you actually get the message out? We've got this audience. The walking groups are fantastic, especially for women aged 55 plus. That is the audience who really that resonate with these groups, where it's a really good match and they really want to go and take part in it. It's not that men don't take part, it's not that younger people don't take part, but that's the audience where it's a perfect match, which is amazing. Amazing, because women aged 55 plus is two of our hard to reach groups in sports development. How do we get to over 55s? How do we get to women? Well, this is a great offer for them. But how do you get your message out there? How do you get in front of these women aged 55 plus to get that message out? And then what do you say, what do you do to engage them? And people tell us about a lot of frustrations they have with this. It's quite difficult. It's a hard group to reach. It's a hard group to engage. A lot of them are inactive. A lot of them aren't sure about taking part in activity. So we're going to look today at what's the approach that works for managing to engage that audience. So overview of what we're going to cover, we're going to talk about why it's hard to engage inactive people into these walking groups, how to make your marketing much more effective, the two-step process that we recommend everybody uses, Facebook ads, how they can reach inactive people, and then how we can help. And we're going to look at it specifically within the context of these walking groups and the exact tactics that's working for this, because slightly different tactics work for promoting each different kind of activity. Now, to give you an idea of what kind of thing we're going to be covering, what kind of results is going to be possible, I want to just start off with something which is just so exciting. So Walking for Health use Facebook ads as part of their overall digital marketing approach. They're focused on people living with cancer because they're funded by Macmillan Cancer Support. And they ran their first campaign, I think it's back in 2016 now. They expected, based on the other tactics they were using, that they'd engage about 800 people. Instead, with the budget they had, they engaged 2,500. They were like, wow, this is exciting. You know, this is going to actually make a really big difference. We can reach large numbers of people here. So they started making Facebook ads a part of their everyday marketing work. They've got a member of staff there who her whole job is running these campaigns, working with the local organizations to use it. evaluating it, improving the system. So there's loads, I'm in regular contact with them, lots to learn from what they've done. We've then developed it further as well. So we're going to be covering the kind of stuff that Walking for Health are using at the moment and how it's possible for you to use it on a local basis. In total so far, Walking for Health using Facebook ads have engaged over 10,000 people. So that gives some kind of a context of the kind of the scale of what we're looking at here. So now let's go back into what some of the things that are stopping people from going and taking part in the first place, and then we'll get into the tactics of, okay, so what do you do to actually engage people? So why is it so hard to engage inactive people? There's a few things that come up, and they come up quite regularly. If you ask people, I've conducted lots of focus groups, if you ask people how come they're not more active, there's a few things that regularly come up. And the first of them is time, and you hear that quite often from people. And the second of them is money, and that's very common as well. People can say that as a real barrier. Now, if you then press a little bit harder, you kind of start to look at, well, what is it that is actually kind of stopping people from taking part? Having good activities, very, very important. You know that, you know, you're putting on these activities all the time. You're working with partners to make sure the activities are good quality. That's really, really important. You've got to have a good quality activity, otherwise people don't want to take part. Now, there is another barrier, which it turns out is actually more important for all of our work than these first three. And that is people are unsure about taking part. They're nervous about getting started. They're nervous about getting into activity. They're lacking in confidence. They need reassurance and support for getting started. And it turns out that is the most important of the barriers when it comes to running our marketing. People actually have got enough time, most of the time. Not everybody, but a lot of the time. And especially when we're looking at over 55s, possibly over 65s, people who are retired, actually time isn't the major issue. These groups are free, these walking groups, so money is not the issue. We know we've got great activities. These walks are excellent. They're really high quality. Walking group leaders are trained. Meets for tea and coffee afterwards a lot of the time, which makes it very sociable. It's a high quality activity that people enjoy. So we've got that covered. But we've still got this barrier about people being unsure about taking part. They're lacking in confidence. They need reassurance and support. And this isn't just our research that's found this, but Sport England as well. They conducted a piece of research that led to the This Girl Can campaign. And in that research, they found was that there's this fear of judgment of people's appearance, their ability, how they chose to spend time on themselves, that was stopping them from getting involved in activity. And it's a major issue. And we conduct interviews with people in order to understand their barriers, in order to understand what's stopping them from getting involved in activity. And I've got a video of one lady who agreed to let that be shared. Talking, it's not about a walking group specifically, but it's about getting involved in activity. And she's a woman aged 55 plus, so it's a really good match here for this audience that we're talking about for engaging into walking groups. I'm going to play that now. I do apologize if you find that the sound kind of doesn't quite match up when I've finished talking and when the video starts. I do apologize because sometimes this technology doesn't work perfectly. So you can see there's these real concerns that people have. I mean, this is a lady who is, she worked as a teacher for 20-something years. She's quite well educated. She's confident. She knows what she, you know, she's was competent in her job. She's a smart lady. And she's got all of this nervousness around going along and taking part in a class. So we've got to address that. We've got to acknowledge that and look, well, what can we do to help support these people who are feeling unsure to come along and actually get started and take part that first time? We know the activities are great. We know that when people take part in them, they have a good experience. And therefore, we just have to get them along the first time. We have to make sure they're comfortable to come down and take part. And what we're looking at here is that people are working their way through the stages of change. And I'm sure you've probably seen this before. In case you haven't, let me talk you through it. This is a model that was developed by two academics in America called Puchanska and Di Clemente back in the 60s or 70s. And it describes the process that people go through when they're getting involved in any kind of health behavior change. And they work their way through these stages of change. And we've all been through this ourselves on various different things like, you know, eating more healthy or getting active ourselves. There's pre-contemplation when you're not even thinking about it. You're happy with how things are, thank you very much. You're not considering it. And then you move to contemplation where you're starting to think, well, maybe that's something I could do or I should do or I will do. Then you've got preparation. You're starting to get planning for it. You're putting together, right, what do I need to do? Do I need to buy this recipe book? Do I need to buy some new trainers? You know, what do I need to kind of have as my plan? Then you've got action, actually going out, getting started, and then maintenance, staying active in our case, actually sticking with it for the long haul. And of course, people relapse all the time and fall back again and then work their way back through this. And what we've got to look at here is we've got to make sure that our marketing matches with the process that people actually go through. And we're not just saying to them, here's the activity, go along, take part. If they're at the contemplation stage, that doesn't work for them. You know, they're not ready for that information yet. They can't just go along and take part because then they're only thinking about it. But they are thinking about it. So if we can get their details and stay in touch with them, then we can get them to go along at some point. So we've got to support people to work through these stages, and we may have to make sure our marketing matches each of the different stages and where they want to be. So what's the different things that we can do to make our marketing more effective, to make it fit with this? And really effective. So we need to use a two-step process. A lot of marketing in sport and activity uses a one-step process, and here we're going to be using a two-step process. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. We're going to use the right marketing tactics. We've got to target the right people, use the right messages, the right imagery, lots of different things, and we have to combine them all into the right process to make this effective. And we're going to be talking through today exactly how that works for promoting walking groups. So what is the two-step process? The way most marketing is normally done is people put out a message saying, here's when the group is, come along and take part. And as we've already seen, most people are quite nervous about going along and taking part. So that's too big of a step for them. They can't just go along and take part because they're unsure or they're not ready yet or they want to start next month and they will have forgotten about it by then. Or they haven't got their questions answered. They don't know if they can turn up with their dog or what about the fact that they've had an injury recently and they're a bit slow? Is that going to be okay? They're not ready to just turn up. So what we need to do instead is we have to drive inquiries through the marketing. We still have to target the right people. We still have to use the right message, the right imagery, the right marketing tactics. And we get people to sign up and tell us they're interested. It's a small step for them. Not everybody's going to do it, but some people are going to see that marketing message saying, sign up and tell us you're interested. And then they will be in our database. There'll be somebody we can communicate with and tell them more details about what's going on. And then they can ask us questions. We can respond to their inquiries. We can address their uncertainty, give them reassurance, answer their questions, and support them to come along and take part. So again, what we're doing here is we're supporting people to work through these different stages of change. If they're at the action stage and they see the ad and they're like, oh, great, a walking group, they can just come along and take part. That's fine. But the ones who are at the preparation stage, we want to catch them as well and support them to move through to action. The ones who are at the contemplation stage, we want to get their details as well and support them. The ones who are thinking, oh, maybe I'd like to go and do something. Maybe I'd like to go walking more. or I'd like to get active, what could I do? We want to get their details so we can stay in touch with them and support them to move to the preparation, then the action stage, and eventually the maintenance. And that's what we're doing with this two-step process. We're just getting the inquiries initially so that we can then stay in touch and support them through that whole process. Now, I mentioned here that we want to target the right people, use the right messages, the right imagery, the right marketing tactics. What tactics are going to be effective at getting us those inquiries cost effectively? How can we reach women age 55 plus and tell them about walking groups and get them to make an inquiry? Well, the standard model has been posters and leaflets. And what we found when we've been running these campaigns is that posters and leaflets don't work very well. They're okay, but they're not great. There are definitely better tactics out there. So why do I say that? Why am I bad-mouthing posters and leaflets when that's been around for so long? Well, what we found is there's one way where they do work quite well. Let's say you've got a group of people, you go and give a talk and give out leaflets at the end. That works quite well, but it's really time-consuming. People haven't got the time, and what do you get there? You get to talk to 10 or 20 or 30 or maybe 50 people in one go. And so that's not a very efficient use of your time. If you hand them out through door drops or you leave them in libraries and community centers, they don't tend to get picked up. And if they go through the door, they tend to get put in the bin. It's hard to target them to the right audience to make sure you're getting in front of exactly who you want to reach. So that's not very effective. We found if we do door drops, we tend to get an inquiry rate of 0.25%. So one in every 400 people who we give a leaflet to through a door drop will actually respond. And it's just worked out too expensive for the printing and the distribution and all of that. But the good news is there are more effective, modern targeting techniques. The private sector is using them to make money. Why shouldn't we use them to get people into walking groups? And those tactics are about using digital marketing and using Facebook. And we found Facebook ads in particular to be the best way of getting the message out to hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people in our target group and getting the exact right message to them and getting them to make that inquiry. Now, I mentioned Facebook, but why can't you just post onto your Facebook page? You know, you've got a page, you might have 500 people like it or 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000. Why can't you just post on there and get results from that? And you may have noticed that it's been working less and less well over the last few years. And the reason is your followers, people who liked your page or followed your page, then don't see your content on Facebook anymore. Not very much, not very often. And I'll explain in more detail about that. It used to be you could just post on your page and people would see it. And Facebook has been gradually decreasing that. They've been doing it for two reasons. One is that they have found that people want to see mostly in their newsfeed stuff from friends and family. And then a lot of companies and organizations have got really good at sharing content on their Facebook pages because it benefits the organization. And therefore, Facebook has actually been acting against that and trying to decrease the amount that's showing. And they just did a big update in January this year, where they decreased it even further because it was in the news, you might have seen it, because they were saying that no, people want to see stuff from friends and family, so we're not going to show stuff from organizations. So that's one reason. The second reason is that they really are a business and they want to make money, and therefore they're trying to encourage organizations to use Facebook ads instead of just posting onto their page. So they've been gradually decreasing the amount that you can see. So this has been in the news recently. There was something on The Guardian here, why Facebook's newsfeed is changing, how it will affect you. So there's been big changes just recently, but this has been going on altogether for a while. It's part of a larger trend. In 2012, if you posted something to your Facebook page and people who liked your page, about 16% of them would see that. Not everybody's on Facebook on that day or in that week, so some of them obviously wouldn't. Some people would just scroll through quite quickly and would miss it. But 16% of them would see it. So that's a good proportion. That has gradually decreased over the years, and now it's down to about 1% of people who like your page will see your content. It's a bit staggering, isn't it? It's a bit of a kick in the teeth, but it's just how it is. It's how the world is now. So if your page has 10,000 fans and you post something, then only 100 of them will actually see your post in their newsfeed. On average, 100 people will see it. So it's not great. It's not getting your content out to the people that you need to reach. So what can you do about it? Well, you can use Facebook ads. This is a low-cost way, much cheaper than posters and leaflets, a low-cost way of promoting your offering and getting the message out there. And you can use it to get people to make those inquiries. And then once they make the inquiries, you can stay in touch with them. And I'll go through exactly how that works. But first off, let's just look at, well, what is Facebook ads, in case you're not familiar with it? If we look at it on the desktop, these two red arrows on the screen point to ads. They look just like regular posts, or the one in the middle does at least. It looks like a regular post, but it's sponsored. Someone has paid for that to be shown to a specific audience, and Facebook is happy to therefore show that post because someone's paid some money. They will show that post to the audience that the organization has chosen. So you can say, right, I want to only show this post to men aged 35 to 55, or women who are likely to have children who are aged between, you know, the mums are aged between 25 and 40. Or, in our case, women aged 55 plus in particular. Now, there's also another ad on the screen, which is on the right-hand side. Everything down that right-hand side is adverts. These aren't the kind that we want to use. This is a different kind of Facebook ad. It's only appropriate for branding, which is for large organizations who are selling stuff in, like, supermarkets. It's not right for us. It's not our kind of advert. We want the one in the middle. And if you're on the mobile, then what it looks like is this. Just looks like a regular post as part of someone scrolling through their newsfeed. And again, we get to choose who it shows to. So that is the way that Facebook ads look to the user. They pretty much just look like part of the regular newsfeed. Now, how does Facebook ads work out cost-wise compared with leaflets, for example? In our tests, we found that if you include the cost of design, printing, distribution of leaflets, and it works out as about £48 per inquiry that comes in, which is staggering, you know, and I think sometimes that gets missed because the budget for the printing is separate for the budget for the distribution and separate to the budget for the design. But if you add them all together, our costs we found is £48. With Facebook ads, it's around £1 to £2 to get per inquiry you get in from the particular audience we're looking at here. So really cheap, really, really good value, really, really worthwhile, very reliable. Let me just cover why Facebook and not for some of the other social networks, and then we'll get into the details of the actual process that works. So Facebook is the largest social network by a long way, a long way. So they have somewhere around 80% of online users are using Facebook, compared to under 30% with all the other social networks. They also own Instagram. When you add the two of those together, they're bigger than all of the other social networks combined, I think. Plus, the advertising system is 10 times better than the other social networks for targeting the audience that you want to reach. So that's brilliant as well. That's really helpful. And it's not just like, it's not just us who found this, but this is the norm. You know, Facebook ads is now the normal thing within big business. The FTSE 500 are really starting to get into Facebook ads in a big way. There's been lots of a huge increase, like I think two or three times more budget going in from those organizations over the last couple of years, 18 months, 2 years, something like that. Public Health England, very big Facebook ad user. They tested TV ads against Facebook for Stoptober, you know, the stop smoking campaign, and they found Facebook outperformed TV by 9 to 1. So it's huge, really, really effective. So Facebook ads is a brilliant way of being able to choose what audience you want to reach, get your message in front of them, and it's the most cost-effective way of doing it that we know of at the moment. I've just seen a couple of messages, sorry, in the chat box. It looks like some people were having some issues with the sound and the video, but I think everybody's okay again now. If it does cause a problem again, then just probably either change the browser or just refresh your page and it probably will come back again. So I'm sorry if the technology lets us down. I do apologize for that. So right, so one of the other important things to cover is, well, why am I saying Facebook ads is good for women aged 55 plus? Surely over 55s aren't on Facebook. Well, Facebook ads Facebook is excellent for reaching over 55s. Really, really good. They're the fastest growing group on Facebook by far. This data is from last year, and 53% of 55 to 64 year olds were on Facebook, and 41% of 65 to 74 year olds. And this is only going up. This is only increasing. That is the fastest growing group over 55. Once you reach 75, no, it's not the right audience to look at, but not the right tactic to use. But for 55 to 74 year olds, it's an excellent way of getting your message in front of them. And this isn't just, you know, middle class people. This is, you know, smartphone use amongst all different economic groups is very high, and Facebook is like the most popular app, and it's really, really good at reaching people from this women aged 55 plus and from lower socioeconomic groups. So there are definitely some, you'll definitely find some people who are like, oh no, I don't want anything to do that Facebook thing, or I don't have a smartphone, but there are growing numbers of people who do, so we definitely can use this to reach our target audience. Right. So that's enough stuff about why Facebook, what's the overall problems that people are suffering from, the frustrations. Now let's get into the tactics, the exciting stuff about, well, what's actually working and what's not working. Now, just remember, we want to support people as they work through these stages of change. From pre-contemplation, we're going to probably catch them at the contemplation stage and then support them all the way through to preparation, action, and maintenance. So version one. What happened? Let me give you the background. What happened was that we started running a campaign with Hounslow Council, and they were really keen to engage lots of people into walking groups, walking routes, get them to download the Active 10 walking app. So we ran a campaign for them to engage lots of people interested in walking. And version one was we ran Facebook ads, and people signed up, and then we would email them details of the walks near to them. And this worked amazingly at getting lots and lots of signups. We had 600 or 700 signups within like a month. Huge numbers of people. But going back to our model of the stages of change, what was clear is that we weren't doing enough to support them as they moved through each of these stages. So only the people who were the most ready were going to go along and take part. And as a result, we had hundreds of signups, but only a small percentage actually attended a walk. So we had lots of initial engagement, but we weren't supporting them to work their way through that process. So we changed the model. And what we did instead is we would run Facebook ads, people would sign up, and then we would email them details of the walk nearest them. So we took out one step in the process for them. They didn't have to go onto the page and search and find the walk nearest to them. We would email them the details of the walk nearest to them straight away. So we made it a little easier. We removed a little barrier for them and made it simpler for them to get started. As a result, about 10% of people who received details from us actually attended. They went along, took part in a walk. So that's quite good. We've got 10% of people who've signed up actually attending. That's decent numbers. But obviously, we weren't completely happy with that. We wanted to improve it further. So version three, we'd run Facebook ads. People would see them. They would sign up. We would email them a confirmation. Immediately that they signed up, they get a confirmation email from us saying, thanks for signing up. We're going to send you details of your nearest walk. We also texted them a confirmation saying, thanks for signing up. We're going to send you details of your nearest walk. We then, within 24 hours, would text them details of the walk nearest to them. So we changed here from emailing to texting the details of the walk nearest to them. So they still got an email, but they crucially got the information about the walk nearest to them via a text message. And we thought, oh, we'll see how that goes. That sounds like it's quite a nice idea. Maybe that'll do better. It was fantastic. We're really surprised by just how effective text messaging was for this exact part of the model. What that led to was 60% engagement. So 60% of people replied to that message. In there, we would say something like, hi, Bob, thanks for signing up. Your nearest walk is on Tuesday at 10 a.m. It starts at the church tower. Arrive 10 minutes early so you can fill in a new walker form. The walk leader is Samantha. She'll be wearing a Walking for Health vest, so you'll be able to see her when you get there. Let us know if you're going to be coming this week or next week. 60% of people would reply to that, and they would say something like, great, I'm going to be down there this week, or I'm coming next week, or I'm not sure if it would be right for me because I had a hip surgery 6 months ago and I'm walking quite slowly. Is that going to be okay? Or can I bring my dog? She gets on okay with people, but I wanted to check before I brought her down. Because we then could answer their questions and reply to them, we increased the percentage of people attending. We had about 15% of people then attend. So this was a really big improvement. Another 5% of people actually coming down and taking part. But of course, we weren't happy with that. We still wanted to see how could we improve it further. So stage version 4. We used Facebook ads. People would sign up. We would email them a confirmation. We'd text them a confirmation. That's just saying, thanks for signing up. We've got your details. We're going to send you your nearest walk. We would text them the details, the walk nearest to them. Then we would follow up each week for the next 3 weeks. We would text a reminder the day before the walk took place. So let's say they signed up, they thought it sounded good, but they forgot that the walk was taking place. Well, now they're getting a text the day before reminding them the walk is happening. And so that makes it a little bit easier for them to go and take part. It's another chance for them to come back and ask us questions and let us know if they've got any problems or barriers. And we can reassure them, give them that reassurance and support we talked about earlier so that they can come along and take part. As a result of that, we still had the same 60% engagement, but now we're up to 25% of people attending. So we're gradually working the way through that model and supporting more and more people who are at those different stages of change to gradually work their way through. So we're catching an extra group of people who were at the preparation stage, but they weren't ready to go this week or they weren't ready to go next week. But because we kept following up with them, they actually could come along and take part in a couple of weeks' time when they're ready. But what about those who we've caught really early on in the contemplation stage? Maybe details of their nearest walk and 3 text reminders isn't enough. How do we support them to work through? So version 5, people see Facebook ads. They can sign up via Facebook. We email them a confirmation. We text them a confirmation. We text them the details of the walk nearest to them. They can reply. They can ask questions. We then text them a reminder for the next 3 weeks. And then we send behavior change emails for the next 6 months. And these include motivational tips, case studies, examples of other people who got started, information about how great walking is for you. Lots of little things just to keep people feeling positive about it, remind them this is something that they signed up for, that this offer is still available to them, and constantly within those, pointing them back to the walks that they could go and take part in when they're ready. Because they're not all going to be ready yet. We know that we have to support people through that whole stages of change model. So as a result of this, what did we get? We get 60% engagement, 25% of people attend in the first 4 weeks, and by 6 months, 40% of people are more active. And in fact, the NICE guidance, the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence, their guidance in this says you should do 12 months of behavior change support. So we're now working on version, what would it be now, 6, I guess, where we're going to have longer term behavior change follow-up by email, more emails within that period. I'm going to review what the content of those is. We're going to look at making other offers to those people. Maybe they signed up for details of walking, but actually turns out now they're not really that keen on walking, but they still want to get active. Maybe we can send them details of swimming. And we can find out what else are they interested in and help them get into some other kind of activity. And then we're going to see that percentage go up. We're going to be able to increase the number of people, the percentage of people who we support to get active through this process. Hopefully you can see how exciting this is and how we're able to support people all the way through those different stages of change using digital marketing without just working one-on-one with people, so we're able to reach large numbers of people. So let's look at, well, what are the numbers? How many people am I talking about here? In Hounslow, we ran the campaign promoting the walking groups and walking routes. We had over 1,200 registrations so far. I think it might be up to 1,300. And we're tracking and we're analyzing and making sure what percentage are actually going along and attending. And we've got all of that long-term email follow-up in place there. Motivate East, this is where these are the guys who are funding the campaign, but we worked in Redbridge. In 2 or 3 weeks, we engaged 320 people, matched everybody with their nearest walk, sent everybody text messages with the details of their nearest walk, had that 60% engagement that I was talking about that's just unheard of. You know, you just don't get that level via digital normally. 30% of people booked into a walk, and we've got long-term follow-up in place for the other 70%. Who else? What else? So people love this support. This is just, people go crazy for it because it's about helping them to work through what they need. It's not about us saying this is what you should do. It's about us helping them. The way that we have the text messages set up is they actually come into our email account so we can reply from the computer. We don't have to reply on a phone just tapping away with our thumbs. We can reply from the computer, but it goes to their phone via text message. So this is one lady had said, I can't believe I'm going to have to drop out again. Trapped nerve in my neck. Sorry, please don't give up on me, Anne. So you can see people are just loving the fact that we're staying in touch. We're trying to help them to work through and become active, but they've got all these barriers. They've got all these things stopping them, but we're supporting them long term to help them to get started. So let's have a quick look. What does this look like? And then, let's talk through just what does it look like from the user's point of view? Well, step one, they see an ad. They're on their phone or they're on their computer and they see an ad talking about walking groups. So here we have an example. There's a picture of a couple of people walking on your own or in a group. Walking is one of the best activities for your health and it's free. Get walking in Hounslow. And then there's a sign up button. They click that sign up button in the bottom corner and they're going to see something like this. It's going to be a form that comes up in Facebook. This is using something called lead ads. Lead ads. It's a type of Facebook ad. And that form is still in Facebook and it's going to have whatever details we need from them. We normally ask for name, email, postcode, and mobile number. Because Facebook knows those details about people already, those fields are pre-populated. People don't have to write the stuff in. It's pre-populated by Facebook. So they just have to click submit at the bottom and they're done. They're told by Facebook, you're all done. Then what happens? Then they automatically receive a text message confirmation that pops through to their phone within a minute or two. And they go, oh, great. I've signed up, got the details to say that someone's going to send me my nearest walk. So I know it's all fine. They also receive an email confirmation, comes through to their computer. So they, again, they've got information saying, we're going to send you details to your nearest walk. Because it's an email, we've got a bit more space. We can also put in stuff around, if you want to go and find something yourself now, here's details of the website, etc. We then use a reasonably complicated Excel system to match people with their nearest walk and populate all of the information for that person. So it doesn't just say your nearest walk is X. It says your nearest walk is the one on Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. It's taking place at the clock tower on the high street. Get there 10 minutes early. The walk leader is Carolyn. We go reasonably slowly and it lasts about 45 minutes. So it's everything about the walk. It's populated for that person based on the walk that's nearest to them. And of course, if they reply and they can't make that walk, we find them a different one and match them with that instead. Once we've got all of the details matched with people, we then can use an online system, online SMS system. We use Burst SMS for sending out those messages to people once a day with their nearest walk. So people get that text message, and then, like I said, 60% of people reply. They engage with it. They're interested. They see it. They read it, and they reply to it and say, that's great, or I can't make this one, or what have you. I can't do that walk, or I can't do that day. Fantastic engagement levels. Open rates for email is normally about 30%. 60% of people are not just opening this, but replying. When they reply, it comes back into our SMS system online, so we can reply from the computer, not just via our phones. Quite a comprehensive system. So it takes a bunch of setting up, but that's all the steps that are involved in order to get that kind of long-term behavior change. We also have, and I haven't got a slide for it here, but we also have those automated emails going out from in MailChimp, so that if they haven't got active in the first month, then we're staying in touch with them with useful, helpful, motivational emails for the next 6 months, as it stands at the moment. And just a reminder, what we're doing here is we're supporting people who are starting at that contemplation stage, and I support them to move through to preparation, then action, and then maintenance. And so this is a whole digital marketing system to support people through that process. How does it work kind of week to week? Week one, normally about 10% of people attend, and you get another 5% in week two, another 5% in week three, another 5% in week four. After that, it starts to drop off. That's why we've moved to those long-term behavior change emails. Obviously, we've got those other 75% of people who haven't signed up, but they're still at the contemplation or the preparation stage. They're not ready to take the next step yet, so that's why we're following up long-term. So what does that look like? We have different emails that are sent out automatically. And we might have one on day two, one on day four, one on day six, and it might get to be a bit less often, might be one a week later, and then another week later, and then it might go down to 2 weeks, and then there might be one every 2 weeks for a few months, while we just stay in touch with them and keep reminding them that we're here, available to help them whenever they're ready to get started. And that gradually supports them through those stages of change, moving them through from contemplation through to action. And once they join the group, that helps them to move through to maintenance. So like I said, we make another offer about joining the walking groups every so often, but we can also promote other offers too that they might be interested in. And we can ask them, you know, what other activities would you like to take part in? And then if we've got an activity available that matches what they're after, they can sign up for that. So in summary, we've covered quite a lot here, but Facebook ads are the most effective way to engage inactive people into walking groups. They're 10 times as cost effective, at least, as posters and leaflets. Facebook's the biggest social network by far, and you can engage hard-to-reach groups, inactive people, women, over 55s. The campaign we ran in Redbridge was focused on people with long-term health conditions. So you can even target down more than that and reach just the people who've got long-term health conditions. You can reach men as well with this. I've mentioned women particularly because most walking groups tend to be mostly made up of women. It's a really good match for them. But we can promote to men as well, and men will also go along and take part. You can engage hundreds or even thousands of people into your walking groups with this approach. So in Hounslow, we've had 1,300 people sign up. In Redbridge, it's been 300. Walking for Health have had somewhere over 10,000. We're working with Paths for All in Scotland, and they've were on track, I think, to get a couple of thousand people there signed up. So really large numbers. People love the support. It's really, really based around what they need. You can build a list of people who you can get into other activities in the future, and you can even automate long-term behavior change follow-up. It's still hard. You know, I have to admit that. There's still a lot involved. You have to learn how to set up Facebook ad campaigns, set up the automated email reminders, set up automated SMS reminders, create the system to efficiently link people with the nearest walk, send bulk SMS information about the nearest walk, send bulk SMS reminders for 3 weeks, write the behavior change emails and set up the automated behavior change emails. So there's a lot to do, but once the system's in place, you can then run it on an ongoing basis, and it's really, really efficient. To help you to implement this, if you've been listening and you think, this sounds great, we should have this locally, how do I do this? Then I have an offer for you to make it easier. I will get on the phone with you and talk you through what do you need to have in place locally? What resources can you take advantage of? Because there are resources available, some free, some paid, to help you to do this locally. There are people you can work with. There are others who are doing this I can connect you with so that you're not just starting from scratch or working on your own. I can talk through we can do to help if that's anything you're interested in. So you can book a strategy call. This is mainly aimed at like people who are coordinating a bunch of different walks. So if you're just running one walk, this call isn't appropriate for you. But if you're coordinating a bunch of walks locally and you want to get people involved in them, you want to run one of these kind of campaigns, then fill in the feedback form and you can book a time directly into my calendar. You don't have to do any back and forth by email. It just brings up a page where you can see my calendar and you can book a time straight in it. Whether that call is right for you or not, make sure to fill in the feedback form, because we're going to send you the replay of this webinar. We're going to send you resources. We're going to send you case studies. We're going to send you useful information about walking groups and promoting them and what's working, and keep you updated when we've developed the model further. So to download the slides, to get that replay, to get all those resources, go to makesportfun.com/walking. I'm going to test that out myself now, just to double check that it's all set up properly. makesportfun.com/walking. And that is going to send you through to the feedback form. Fill that in, book your phone call. And I'm going to give you just a minute to go through and fill that in and book your time. And then we're going to move on from there. And we're actually going to do a Q&A session in a minute as well. So go to makesportfun.com/walking. Go there now. Do that. You've got time to fill it in. It's just a very short form. And then to book your time in my calendar for your call. And then we're going to have a Q&A session. Just another 30 seconds to let you finish up filling that in and get your time booked in the calendar. Okay, I can see some people have already filled in their questions, so that's brilliant. Thank you. And I'm going to start answering them. If you've got any other questions, just write them into the chat box now. Simon has asked, are there any time and events when you'd use the old-fashioned leaflet drop? Simple answer, Simon, is no. We have just found they are so much less effective than Facebook ads. The only other thing we use that is offline is direct mail, and we use that for over 65s, over 70s, over 75s, when we've got a project specifically for reaching that audience, and also when we're reaching people with long-term health conditions via a hospital or a GP surgery, we use direct mail or you know, posting letters to them. But I would say never leaflets. We've never found leaflets to be a good use of money. Okay, next question. Charlie has asked, do you do the follow-up for the 3 weeks and 6 months for everyone who registers interest, or just those who registered, I assume you mean registered for a specific walk, including those who turned up to the walking group, registered and haven't turned up yet? We do it for everybody, Charlie, because some people who go along and take part in the walk 1 week, they might forget that the walk is the next week. So having the text reminder for them does no harm. It would be just as appropriate for someone who has taken part as for someone who hasn't. So we do that for everybody. And also, it's quite hard to get the data back quickly enough of who's taken part in the walks. We get the new walker forms through from the walking group leaders, but it normally takes a couple of weeks, so we don't know who's attended that week as well. So that's a kind of part of the reason we've made it generic. But it's also, it is helpful for people if they've attended once to still get reminders. And about the 6-month follow-up, yep, we also send that out to everybody. What we're actually doing, and I didn't mention here, but what we do is we have different versions of those 6 months worth of email follow-up, depending on where somebody is at. So if they have gone along and taken part, then they would get the emails about staying active. And if they haven't gone and taken part yet and they're not active yet, they'll get emails kind of supporting and motivating them to get started. So those emails are actually appropriate to each person based on where they're at, what stage of the status of change they're at. Barbara has said, the idea of using Facebook ads sounds great. I'm concerned that the elderly don't want to give their phone number to a stranger. My last research in the Netherlands showed a lot of 50 plus are scared of losing their privacy. So we haven't found that. We did really worry about that, Barbara. We thought if we put in the phone number as a required field, are we just going to have the cost per sign up skyrocket? Is it going to go up by a huge amount because people just don't want to give their phone number? And we didn't find that. And we found the cost per sign up went up slightly when we asked for their mobile number, but not by much. So that means that nearly as many people are filling it in with the phone number as when we didn't ask for the phone number. We think there are a few reasons why. Reason number one is because we're telling them that we are going to be texting them the details. So they can see why they should give their phone number. They can see that it's not just we're asking for it because we want it. We're asking for it for their benefit. So that's one part of it. Second part is because it's pre-populated in Facebook, so it's easy for them to do. So there's not so much kind of thinking about it with that. And it seems that a lot of people in this audience are more comfortable with text messaging than they are with emailing as well. Definitely the response rate we get shows that they're very happy with texting back. So I think the three of those combined is why it works so well. And I tell you, it was surprising to us as well, Barbara. It was definitely something where we didn't think this was going to work as well. It was a test, an experiment, and it worked way better than we expected. Are there going to be some people we don't catch there? Absolutely. They can fill in the form without giving their mobile number if they want to. They don't have to fill it in, but like everybody does pretty much. We would email them if the details of the nearest walk if we couldn't text it to them because we didn't have a mobile number. But that just doesn't seem to come up. So it seems fine. It's really interesting and it's surprising. But I think that's why it was so important to kind of share today what it is that's working, because it doesn't intuitively seem like it should do, but it works amazingly. Kirsty said, I also had similar feedback. I'm working to engage over 65. I think there's a big difference between this age group and those 55 to 65. I think there is a cutoff, Kirsty, but I think it's not 65 anymore. I think it used to be 65. So we ran a campaign for Chichester Council back in 2011, and we tried doing Facebook ads to over 65 then. It didn't work at all. It really didn't work. But the people who were, there were some of them on Facebook, not that many. People who were on there didn't have email addresses. It just really wasn't a good match. But the people who were 65 in 2011 aren't 65 anymore. Now they're 70. And the people who were 60 then, who it did work with, are now 65. And a higher percentage of those people who were, you know, who didn't have email addresses now have them. The ones who didn't have smartphones have now got them. So I would say the cutoff is somewhere around 70 or 75. My instinct is maybe it's more towards the 70 line. We've only got data for what percentage of 65 to 74-year-olds are on Facebook. We don't know, you know, if we just looked at that as 65 to 70 and 70 to 75, how does that break down? But definitely 65 to 70-year-olds seem to be, you know, we're still getting results with over 65s through Facebook, you know, good results as well. I'm going to have a look in our Facebook Ads Manager and see if I can find the kind of results that we got in terms of signups from the different age groups. And then that might actually help to kind of clear this up a little bit as well. So I'm looking at it now and see if I can actually bring up some of these stats. So just bear with me, I'm going through the demographic section in the data. So here we go. We had sign-ups from, we ran the campaign to men and women, actually, and we mostly got women signed up. It was about 85% of people who signed up were women. And then we ran at 55 to 74-year-olds, and we had about, let's see, 155 women aged 55 to 64 and 89 women aged 65 plus. So there's more women aged 55 to 64 signing up than 65 plus, but not more than double, so kind of 90 to 155. So it's like it's more effective 55 to 64-year-olds, but it is still effective for people 65 plus. It definitely still is. And the cost per result, cost per sign up is not that different either. Now, if you're looking at reaching over 65s, is Facebook going to reach all of them? No. But no tactic's going to reach all of them. No tactic's going to reach everybody. So this is one tactic that's going to reach a large number of 55 to 74-year-olds. And then you might choose to also use other tactics as well. So I would definitely say Facebook ads works for 65 plus. Paul has said, a while ago, we used leaflets, which were delivered to people. Results were poor. That fits with our experience, Paul, definitely. This last time, the company took our money and didn't deliver them. Very angry about that. I bet you are. I bet you are. With Facebook ads, we're now in complete control and know that our Facebook ads reach people. Yeah. I mean, the numbers of people you can reach with Facebook ads, the control you're in, the fact you can just do a £30 campaign or you can do a £500 campaign, depending on what your goals are, means you're so much more in control with Facebook and Facebook ads than you would be with leaflets, where you can own, you know, you're going to print the cost with leaflets is getting started printing and then you pay the same to print print 2,000 and 1,000. Well, you might as well print a few thousand of them. Well, now you've got to get them out there. You can't just do it like, okay, I've got a campaign next week. I want to just do something for it. So Facebook ads is so superior. Paul said, you've talked about using the right images before. The videos work as effectively, if not more so, to engage people. Yes, they do, Paul. Videos are fantastic for engagement levels. Really, really fantastic. But it's hard to make a good video. So I would suggest to everybody to start with images. And you can always experiment with video, but we have not got a formula of what videos work best for this kind of campaign yet. So I can't say to you, do this and you get these results with it. Whereas images is much more straightforward. All right, we're coming up to the end of the time we'd allowed. It's just coming up to an hour. So we're going to call it a day here. We've gone through all of the questions that we've got time for. So if you didn't have your question answered, then I do apologize. But we're going to call it a day. So make sure to go to makesportfun.com/walking, fill in the form, get all the resources. And then if you are someone who's managing a number of different walking groups, book your call and I'll talk you through, you know, next steps, the strategy call. It's about you. Next steps to help you get started with this. So I look forward to talking with you soon. And thanks very much for coming on the webinar today. Thanks, guys.